Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. Today's guest is Judith Corvin Blackburn, a transpersonal psychotherapist and shamanic minister. Her latest book is Activating Your 5D Frequency. If you've ever had questions about the fifth dimension or 5D, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Judith, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Johnny.
You know, I just had to Google the fifth dimension, and I expected to find all kinds of cool stuff about 5D and 3D to 5D and so on, and I found a music group from the 60s who apparently had a song about the Age of Aquarius. Am I right?
You are right.
Is that related to going to 5D, or should I say going back to 5D, or is that something completely different?
Oh, no, I definitely think it's related. You know, it was from the musical Hair.
Right. There
was this whole wave, having come of age in the 60s and early 70s myself, there was this whole wave of consciousness that hit the planet, especially for the age group of us in our late teens and 20s, where we really thought we could change the world. And the musical Hair came out of that. It is rather bizarre that the group that sang The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius called themselves the fifth dimension. But
yeah,
People were tuned in. You know, things always go in cycles, and I believe we're at a much higher octave at this point of it, but they were tuned into something.
Sounds like it. That was obviously a long time ago, but it seems like there's been a groundswell of this thing. Maybe it's been building for the past 50 or 60 years about reaching a different vibration, or in the opinion of some, going back to what we had thousands of years ago. Now, as far as your work is concerned as a therapist, a transpersonal psychotherapist actually focuses on the health of the spirit rather than the body and the mind.
Well, it includes the spirit, because a lot of what I do, I find, is I have to help people clear their emotional body. Because, you know, we live in a planet of trauma, never mind past life traumas that we bring in. It's unusual that a soul growing up on this planet in this day and age doesn't go through some trauma. So what I have found clears trauma is being able to release the feelings around it. The emotional body, clearing that is part of it. But the transpersonal piece is understanding we are all souls here. We all have gifts. We all have wounds to work through to heal what I perceive as a greater picture of helping to heal the collective.
But in your work, it includes the spirit with everything else, with the mind and the body.
As we clear all the other stuff, the spirit shines through.
So also you are a shamanic minister. How did that come about? And did that come after you were a therapist, or about the same time?
That was much later. And really, it's just another definition of the work. I became a shamanic minister through going through programs at Venus Rising, which is a transformational institute that actually my neighbor and friend Linda Starwolf and her late husband, Brad Collins, founded. When you go through that program, you get to be a shamanic minister if you choose. But that is just another way of saying, you know, that we're here to minister to the healing of the world in whatever form and whatever you want to call it.
All about the healing, then.
It's all about the healing, and it's all about transformation, which is what that journey from 3D to 5D, that suddenly people are going, oh, I'm hearing about this.
A lot.
You're kind of waking up to.
Hearing about it a lot, as one previous guest explained to me, we were talking about ascension. And The way she explained it was, we are now moving away from the masculine to the feminine energy. We'll touch on the divine feminine, because I think it's one concept that is kind of underserved. You don't really hear about it a whole lot. And I think a lot of us want to try to figure out what's going on. So when we talk about the fifth dimension, we love the idea of the age of the Aquarius, especially when it was 60 years ago. But what actually is 5D, and what is a 5D human?
The attributes of the 5D frequency are an open heart, where we step into unconditional love of self and others. And self is really important, because a lot of times that's something that people, you know, they can kind of be loving to others. Although typically, you know, we go through human judgment and lack of compassion. But also, as we go into that unconditional love, it's unconditional love for ourselves, flailing through as humans, because we are still in human form and we are still imperfect.
Right.
So that's a central quality. And that means that we move through the heart as opposed to the mind. Unity consciousness, understanding we are all interconnected. We are interconnected with all of creation. It's not separate from us. So it's stepping into the awareness of oneness. Our culture has very much separated and compartmentalized, separated us from nature. The idea that Earth isn't a living being, of course she is. So as you step into more of this 5D consciousness, that opens up. One of my favorites is unbridled creativity, because you've released all of the constraints of really being a segmented person. One of the things I really like to talk about is that we have 12 strands of DNA.
12?
12.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Typically, we're using two. The scientists like to say it's because the other 10 aren't useful. That makes no sense. You don't have 10 strands of DNA that serve no purpose, because we're in this evolutionary process of really shifting dimensionally. And what that's going to do is reactivate these 12 dormant strands. We're encoded to use them, but culturally we've been shut down for thousands of years.
Well, that seems to hint that we as a civilization had these qualities thousands of years ago. And I've heard descriptions of something in a cave, and there was a hieroglyph of two men holding what looks like sticks. And there's this giant rock, and it looked like they were literally, it was a piece of the pyramid. And apparently it had something to do with using a frequency, speaking of frequencies.
Right. That was my experience, because I was in Egypt and we had this wonderful Egyptologist who said, you know, there's no way the pyramids were built by slave labor. And if you really research it, not Wikipedia, doesn't give you very good information about this. But if you really, you know, dig in a little bit deeper, the whole concept of slavery in Egypt is very different than what we perceive here anyway, and that what went on in this country. But these were far older than that period of time. And he talked about feeling that the pyramids were put in place by anti-gravitational rods. When he told us this, we were in Giza, which is in the northern part of Egypt. Then we traveled down to many of the ancient temples, which are just remarkable, in the middle and the southern part. And I don't remember which temple, but I was in one of them and looked at these hieroglyphs. And there were two men across from each other holding rods, with the big stone hovering above it. And this was put in there thousands of years ago.
It's amazing that I've heard this several different times. So it's corroborating each other's stories, as it were. It's not a one-off. It's coming from multiple sources. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And there are still indigenous tribes here and there that we haven't wiped out yet that still have it. There's an African shaman who recently transitioned named Credo Mutwa. He's quoted in a book about the white lions. He's a part Bushman and part Zulu. He talked about, this is what he grew up on. I believe it's the Bushmen that had eyesight so keen they could see the craters of the moon.
Oh my.
And hearing so clear they could hear the spheres turning. Now, along with that, and this is what's happening to all people who are open to this 5D frequency, it's available to everybody, but you know, change is scary. So there's resistance. And a lot of what I've spoken about in my book is how to acknowledge and then get through the resistance. But one of the things that's happening is people are really opening up intuitively or psychically. They're becoming really empathic. They're becoming more clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the dormant DNA that's reactivated.
Activating our 5D frequency. Once we're able to do that, would you consider that as a spiritually transformative experience, or is it something different?
It's absolutely spiritually transformative. One, it comes through the heart. When you come through your heart, you embody compassion. And compassion is quite literally at the heart of spiritual experience. Now, in terms of what we might call deeper sight, you know, the opening of the third eye, that also comes with the territory.
And that's yet another area that a lot of us heard about it, but it's not something people talk about every day. So it seems to me that there are enough of us that believe we had these capabilities and we lived in 5D thousands of years ago. It could have been 10, 11, 12,000 years ago or more. In your book, you talk about where we were in a dimensional descent for thousands of years. Now we're actually reversing it. How does that work, and how do we know it's actually happening?
Well, we don't know it through our intellect, although the intellect can see it if you know how to look, if you have the eyes to see. But it's about being able to feel it. It's about when we're in that 5D frequency, one, there's a wonderful sense of well-being. It's a very relaxed state. It's the word that's coming is an inclusive state. Everybody is us, and we are everybody. We're part of everything. We're part of something larger. We're part of the natural world. So there's this sense of connection and this sense of well-being. We've expanded our bandwidth so that what we see, and it's not, I mean, some people will go out and they will consistently have visions, but that's not an average person's ascension experience. But we begin to see reality in a much bigger picture, so that we don't get caught in a lot of this ego stuff. We don't get caught in a lot of the sort of superficial views of success, that get caught in materialism, get caught in competition. Because when you understand you're interconnected with everything, we have to cooperate. Cooperation benefits everybody.
Because you're going back to the concept of oneness, right, at that point. In a 5D civilization, it would appear that there's no war, there's no competition, which you just mentioned, unity consciousness. And at that point, it is a lack of a monism environment. Like, for every winner, there's got to be a loser.
Right. Which is, right, we're going to look at that as very archaic. Now, competition is great if you're working toward your own personal excellence. Okay. I may be a great runner and you may be a great runner. And so we might like to race. And sometimes I'll be ahead of you and sometimes you'll be ahead of me. Doesn't make one or the other of us a winner or a loser. It's a stimulus. Okay. To stretch ourselves a little bit.
Competing with ourselves, but not with others.
Right.
It sounds almost too good to be true. And I can't help but ask. So in this civilization, is there no more reality TV as well, or is that asking a little bit too much?
Please. Right.
I had to ask, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, yeah, I wanted to ask the same thing. Thanks for that.
Entertainment. The arts are really, when I envision a 5D society, and partly I can remember, and by the way, before ancient Egypt was Atlantis and Lemuria, and probably before those civilizations, there were also very high consciousness. What they're finding on the planet and beginning to carbon date throws out everything we've learned about history.
I kind of figured that. So since you mentioned it, if I could do anything, I'd want to go back to the past and see, what was Atlantis really like? I interviewed someone very recently, and she apparently remembers lives back then. And we didn't have enough time to go into it, but I couldn't help but think, like, what do the buildings look like? Did they have cars? Did they have ships, flying machines? In your journeys, do you have any memories of past lives? And if so, do they go back that far?
Yes. You know, Atlantis went through many different stages. The imagery I have, and it could be Lemuria, you know, it's a little, memory's weird, as we all know, but I've heard other people having these same images of, like, these crystal cities, architecture that's based on sacred geometry, and it glows.
Amazing.
While I didn't myself get images of, like, sort of hover cars, first of all, when we get to a certain level of consciousness, much like Star Trek, I have no doubt we can teletransport. There are enlightened masters. I think we talked a little, Johnny, about reading Yogananda's Autobiography of a Yogi. I mean, some of the masters he was with were able to bilocate, transport themselves.
I've heard that more than once. So as we're talking about dimensions, I had a question about this because I think this is a bit difficult for people to grasp. You mentioned codimensionality in your book.
Yeah.
Does that refer to, like, living the 3D but experiencing 5D, or just kind of going back and forth?
Both. And that's a term I kind of made up as I was writing the book. It came through to me because I think we are very much in a time where we are in both. People will notice, people that have already identified as being on a spiritual journey, that have done their or doing their healing work, that are really working on opening their hearts and stepping more into compassion, will notice one day you're going to feel great. There's lightness. Your cells are filled with light because that's part of what's going on with fifth dimensional consciousness.
It's all about the light, isn't it? Light workers, light beings, white light. How often do we hear the expression light and love?
Right.
When I was younger, I would think, oh, that's kind of corny. But now I'm starting to like kind of get it, you know, as I get older. So I guess I'm doing something right. But
our cells are literally getting lighter. Our hearts are getting lighter. One of the things about the more you're tuned into fifth dimensional energy, you're funnier. Okay.
I thought I was just doing my humor push-ups. I like the fact that you can actually become funnier.
But the next day you might wake up and you're not funny at all. The world isn't funny. It's heavy because you've crashed back down into that third dimensional frequency. Understanding, one, that that's a normal part of the process, but also having tools to relighten yourself, to understand that it's happening is important. And we are also able to perceive co-dimensionally. One of the images I use in the book is the idea of having two different things on your computer screen. We have programs open. So on one hand, we have 5D programs. And if I were to have a very long time to explain this, I would explain this, that the evolution is going from being a 3D, 4D person, because it's people go, well, where's 4D? 4D is important, but it's a whole other conversation of how to get through that into fifth, sixth dimensional consciousness. I also use the image of nesting dolls, where sometimes you're looking through that fifth dimensional nesting doll, you see the big picture, you see the patterning, you see the interconnections, and sometimes you're back into that separation consciousness through that 3D nesting doll.
The obvious question here is that since we did have this capability, we were in another vibration thousands of years ago, what happened? How did we lose our way?
Well, there are stories about that. I can't tell you for sure. Barbara Hand Clough, who I've used her theory of multidimensionality as a foundation for what I teach in a foundation in the book. She's done some brilliant work. And one of the things she has written, which I haven't read, but I know about, is that there were, you know, geological cataclysms. And much of the legends about Atlantis is the final demise of Atlantis was a huge earthquake tsunami deal. Some people believe, and perhaps it's not beyond the realm of my possibility when I look at it, is that it was intentional from another star system that was like,
Really?
We're clearing you out. We're still developing the memories, the ability to remember this. What had come to me intuitively is that on some level, as expanded beings, we didn't quite know how to maneuver on the earth plane. We're curious. There's a lot of polarity in 3D and 4D, and we didn't know how to maneuver. We had no idea what we were going to create, and we created this big mess. I do believe, and it came to me while I was teaching a workshop on multidimensionality, that the biblical story of the fall was really about a dimensional descent.
What I'd like to know is, since you brought that up, how is the sacred feminine connected to that descent, as it were?
Yeah, that's important. Basically, we threw out the goddess. Okay, we threw out the feminine half of the divinity, the feminine half of source, and it threw everything out of balance.
Could that be why there was a shift to begin with thousands of years ago? Is that a theory?
It could be. As soon as you go into separation consciousness, you go into more of the yang or male consciousness, because it's paralleled with the left part of the brain. That is very logical and linear, but has left out the spiritual, emotional, creative aspects, the brain over the heart. And one of the things I find interesting is that 30 years ago, people would tell you to use your head. Now you're hearing, listen to your heart.
Follow your heart. Yes, exactly.
Heart, right? This is part of the evolution. It doesn't have to be all woo-woo. This is just stuff that's right there for us.
It's a fairly simple concept. It's not really that complicated.
But it is pulling in the divine feminine, because the feminine merges. The feminine receives and merges. It's that energy that knows everything is interconnected and we're part of everything. So part of coming back to that divine feminine. The other thing that happened with that separation, Johnny, is we lost the divine masculine. We went into this immature masculine, which got into phases of dominance and power. A force. That's not the divine masculine. The divine masculine is protective and sets boundaries and may come up with brilliant ideas.
So we lost the divine masculine as well. We hear about the sacred feminine and sacred geometry, for that matter, but the divine masculine is not something we hear about. But since you mentioned it, we lost sight of that. It conjures images of dominance and competition and kind of like a knucklehead, if you want to be really honest, right? It seems to me that for the past 3-4 years, we've been stuck in this cycle of divisiveness. And you actually pointed this out in your book, that we had an election and we had a president, that basically what he was doing and his machinations are basically keeping us stuck in 3D. That sound about right?
Well, when you have a leader that espouses separation, you are in fact keeping people stuck in 3D. Now, partly that was bringing up our shadow that we had to look at. The other thing is, this is a time of huge change. Even before COVID, things were changing rapidly. People get scared. In that fear, they want to cling to old beliefs, even if the old beliefs really have no relevance or make no sense anymore, because they believe it somehow will keep them safe. I don't believe it keeps us safe at all. If anything, I think it creates resistance. And it's been heartbreaking to see the divisions.
It's been difficult. A lot of us have lost friends and gotten into arguments with family members. I'm just not going to go there anymore because it's too tempting. So we know that with certain behavior, certain leaders, we can be stuck. It's basically like a never-ending cycle. It just doesn't make any progress.
Right. The other piece that I think is really important to understand is we are all one. So any leaders also reflect part of our own unconscious. I mean, some people are conscious of it. So if we want to shift things, we have to find that within us and shift the part of us that's attached to separation, pitting people against each other, making one group better than another group.
Right. Since you just mentioned the shadow in your book, you talk about a crown of light or a crown of thorns and how it's connected somehow to 4D, integrating our shadow. You can just imagine how some people can get really confused by 4D. A lot of people that I talk to just skip over it. I thought, wait a minute, you're going from 3 to 5. What happened to number 4? And I've heard more than one person say, well, that's a whole other discussion, just like you did.
Right. There you go.
That's what they said.
It's very complex, in a sense. When I say we're 3- and 4-dimensional, or we have been, we're going from 3D, 4D people to 5D, 6D, the fourth dimension is not a physical dimension. It's a emotional dimension. And it depends on whose theory of multidimensionality you use. That's why I'm hesitant to get into too many specifics, because I think there are many lenses to look through.
It might also be a part two, because I didn't think we're going to be able to cover this in 30 minutes or 40 minutes. So that's okay, too.
All I can say, though, is that in navigating the fourth dimension, and as you know, I have a chapter on that. It's an important piece. We have to learn to see our shadow and our light and integrate them. So basically, we're looking at polarity and opposites and how to integrate, which if you look at the polarity going on in our country, certainly now, we don't have the vaguest idea collectively yet. How are we going to integrate this? People get more ensconced in their particular view. Also, people are getting hugely different information.
So you said a mouthful.
Okay. In terms of this evolution, we've got to find a way to integrate. And we have to start being kind and loving to each other, period, whether we agree with each other or not. And when you have such divergent views, that is a really hard thing to do.
Really hard. At times, it seems almost impossible. So when you talk about the shadow and how we do need to acknowledge it, is that the same thing as acknowledging a bad habit? Let's say you have unkind thoughts about a friend or even a family member, for that matter. Ignoring it actually gives it power. But if you say, that's part of the human experience, I can't ignore it, I can say, well, that's just part of me. I'm being human. I'll get over it. It's not a good idea to ignore it like it's not happening.
It's really important not to ignore it, because we all have those abilities to feel and think these things. They're not pretty. And I'm a big fan of people learning how to deal with anger, not to repress it, but to find healthy ways to deal with it on their own so they don't project it onto other people. But anger, it doesn't want to go, oh, I'm so mad at you. It really wants to go, rawr.
Exactly.
And that's okay if it's done in a non-harmful way. And I think that's the piece. So we all have these shadow impulses, and they've gotten intense, I believe, because they've been repressed. The shadow is the part of the self that we don't think is very nice, we're not supposed to look at, or it can be gifts that we've been told are stupid. Like if you were very intuitive, psychic as a child, and your family went, oh no, that's crazy, then that gets repressed and thrown into the shadow. But the shadow that most people have the hardest time dealing with right now is the shadow that wants to strangle somebody you're angry at or that triggers you in some way. And yes, if we pretend it's not there, it grows, it gets stronger, and it gets projected onto another group. Oh, all those people, they're bad. And so I have a right to hate them, want them out of my space, whatever, out of my country, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if we all learn to actually deal with our emotions and our own shadow, then we could integrate it and be kind to everybody and realize everybody's us.
I've never heard it explained just like that, because I think a lot of us are taught to, oh, that's a part of yourself that you do not want to show anyone or even acknowledge. But that's part of understanding all the different dimensions. I almost feel like I have to take a course on it and study it for years and years. And maybe if I'm lucky, I'll understand it.
I think part of the course, if you will, and when I teach the course, a lot of it is to have people go inside and find the wisdom inside of you. Well, we can talk about the details, and I think they're really useful because, again, they give us tools. The real shift and the real wisdom comes from going inside and knowing where to find that inner wisdom, where you can trust it, where you can call on your own higher guidance, your own connection with source.
You mentioned in the book also a 5D global team.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What that means to me is there are people all over the planet that are waking up, that are activating their frequency, they're raising their frequency, they're expanding their bandwidth, and they're envisioning creating a loving, peaceful world. I believe every soul that comes in for a purpose. Some of it might be a public purpose. Some of it may be growing a beautiful garden or raising a child or teaching something. I mean, there's numerous ways to define purpose. But I believe that collectively we have a big mission right now. And the mission is to transform this hugely dysfunctional planet. People that call themselves light workers or are souls that have perhaps come in more on the cutting edge of this transition that say, okay, I'm jumping in first. You may still think I'm crazy out there in the masses, but I'm jumping in here because I have a job to do. I'm not just doing this job alone because I have people all over the planet that also have a job that's complementary to the job I have.
So hopefully we'll at some point reach a point of critical mass.
Yes.
Where I don't know if we're going to see it in our lifetime, but it seems that going back to trying to learn about fifth dimension and when we're going to get there, the estimates run from the year 1412 all the way up to 2597. So it's kind of hard to figure out, to pinpoint it with people talking about ascension and so on. Any closing advice for someone that wants to learn more about going from 3D to 5D or ascension in general?
There's numerous ways you can access it. Let's say follow your heart and not the internet.
Okay. That's priceless. I think the internet is definitely an evil place, but it allows us to have these interviews, obviously. Yeah. So I guess there's one good thing.
Again, if we use it as a tool versus as we're getting all this correct information, there is so much disinformation. And really, it's only from going within and connecting with like-hearted people that you begin to pull this sense of change through.
It's probably the best advice I've heard in I don't know how long. Judith, thanks so much for joining us. How can our listeners learn more about you and your book?
They can get on my website, empoweringthespirit.com. Gives you the books I've written. This particular book, Activating Your 5D Frequency, become a subscriber to my newsletter. They can get a free downloadable Sacred Contracts meditation.
Excellent. I will definitely make sure I put that in the notes as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can also leave us a review on iTunes as well. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.